Turn with me tonight, please, in your Bibles to Psalm 66. Psalm 66. We'll begin our reading at the first verse. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works! Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves, Selah. O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hath proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidst affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us into a wealthy place. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth hath spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats, Selah. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Let's pause, please, for prayer. Our loving Father, we stand before thee tonight in the Word of God. We desire that the Holy Spirit would come now and search us out. Shine, O God, upon us with the light of heaven. I pray that every displeasing thought and every sinful motive and notion would be revealed to us. Just now we might confess those things unto our God and pray for fresh cleansing. And that, Lord, nothing would hinder our fellowship with thee tonight. We would know the Spirit of God having free course, being glorified, taking the word of Christ, impressing the truth upon our soul. Lord, forgive us for hardness of heart. Forgive us for the time that we come and yet we're not properly ready to receive. Lord, just clear away everything we pray and come with power, revealing the Lord Jesus Christ to us in a new, in a special, in a more developed way, that our hearts would be not hardened, not closed. Lord, remove the scales from our eyes. Cause our hearts tonight to burn within us, that we might commune with our Savior, that we might walk close with him. Lord, we ask that those things which hinder us be taken away. Lord, I pray just now that every besetting sin, that every little fox that comes to spoil the vine of our communion with God would be revealed to us. We'd be given grace to confess that sin, and we would put it under the blood of Christ, so that, Lord, there would be nothing in our lives to hinder our communion with God. And Lord, there would be nothing to hinder our fellowship with God and our blessing, the blessing of the Lord being poured upon our congregation. Lord, we desire to go on from strength to strength. We desire, O God, to know the blessing of God on our lives. We desire, Lord, to know answers to our prayers, and especially as we think back of the way we started this year, calling upon our God, who is the God of salvation, calling upon the Lord, who is able to save to the very uttermost all that come unto God through Christ. And Lord, we have to say that we have seen the hand of God made bare this year. There have been many who have called upon Christ for salvation. And for this, Lord, we thank Thee. But the year is not done. And we are not done asking. And therefore, Lord, we pray, would manifest Thy power again and come with great conviction of sin. Save souls, we ask, Lord. We think of those who are in our meeting today, this morning. There were many strangers in, Lord, people we did not know, and we don't know the state of their heart before a holy God. But therefore, we ask, Lord, to continue Thy convicting power until they are brought to call out unto the Lord for salvation. Father, now tonight we pray that we might not be bashful in our testimony, we'll not be bashful in our witness. Lord, I pray that we'll be forgiven for our shame for the Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray there'll be a boldness and confidence so we could say as the apostle did, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Lord, help us, we pray. There are those of other religions, other faiths. There are those who are bold in their belief of error. Lord, help us, we pray, to be confident and strong in the Lord and bold in what we know to be the truth of God. How Satan would love to come and cripple us. He would love, O God, to bind our hearts and bind our tongue and bind our minds. But we pray that the devil will be defeated and that we'll resist him. Because Thou hast said, Lord, when we resist the devil, he will flee from us. Give us, therefore, the joy of proclaiming Christ with boldness. Give us joy, we pray, therefore, in leading souls to a knowledge of Christ. Give us, Lord, we pray, the joy of proclaiming to those who are opposed to the truth of the Word of God. Let us proclaim with boldness and confidence in this time, in our day. Because, Lord, we have been called to the kingdom for such a time as this, and we believe this is true because we worship a sovereign God. We worship one who knows the end from the beginning, and we have been called, O God, to witness for the Master in this very time, in this generation. Give us, we ask, therefore, the necessary equipment. Give us, therefore, the fullness of the Spirit of God that we need. For, Lord, we dare not depend on ourselves. We dare not depend on the arm of the flesh. We ask Thee, O God, to come and to give help. Bless our families in our church. Bless, we pray, our youngest children. Lord, may they be brought up in the fear, in the nurture, in the admonition of the Lord. O God, bless our young people. Bless our teenagers. Bless those who are coming to early adulthood. May they understand and know what it is to bear a testimony in this world. Lord, come to our aid tonight. We ask Thee to strengthen our hearts and to take away from us carnality and worldliness and a double-mindedness. And Lord, we pray that the fire of the Spirit of God would be in our hearts so that we will be able to boldly proclaim and say that the Lord is my helper. Father, these things we come to ask thee about because we have proved ourselves insufficient for these matters. We have no strength. We have no might. We have no wisdom against the forces of the evil one. We have no ability like the ability of the world. We are a weak people. And yet, Lord, the word says, and Father, that you have said this to us, it has pleased the Lord to take the weak things of this world, to confound the mighty. So we are the candidates. Lord, we are the people of God who are weak. Take us up, therefore, and use us for the honor and the glory and the extension of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear these prayers tonight and draw near to us now, we ask, in our Savior's precious name. Amen. If I was to ask you tonight how you would rate your testimony, how you would rate your witnessing prowess, could we say, how many souls would you have led to the Lord in the course of your lifetime? Have you led any soul to Christ? These are important questions. And I believe they're important because the Lord has called us to be His servants and to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Are you doing your job? When was the last time that you knew God's power in your life to witness for Him? When was the last time you knew His Spirit filling your mind, filling your heart, as you had the opportunity to share your faith with someone else? Have you ever known the Spirit of God's power in your life? Christian, these are very important questions. Important questions because there is a danger that you have of going through your Christian life without ever really knowing God's power in doing His work. That's a fearful thing. I therefore challenge you tonight that you need to seek after the Lord on this vital matter. You need to seek after the Lord that He would fill you with His power so that you will be bold in presenting the gospel. You may be bold in other things. You may be bold in your argumentation. You may be bold in your complaint. You may be bold in your gossiping. You may be bold in other things. But are you filled with His Spirit when it comes to standing against those who are insulting your Lord? Are you bold with confidence when there are those who are blaspheming? Are you bold with confidence in the Spirit of God to share your love of Christ to those who are in their sin and going down to a lost eternity? Or does fear grip your heart? Does the fear of man disable you from serving Him? Do you wonder what people are going to think about me if I go and try to share the Lord with them? Friend, I'm saying all these things to you tonight because I know what I'm talking about. I fear those same things. I have feared those things many times. I have known the crippling effect of wanting to share the Lord with someone and yet feeling, I wonder what that person's going to think about me. Are they going to receive me well, or are they going to look at me as if I have two heads? Are they going to think I'm some kind of a religious nut? See, those things come to us, don't they? And you all have felt them as well. But I challenge you tonight from this scripture, this psalm that we have read, and a portion of it, I challenge you with this: the confidence and the authority that is available to a Spirit-filled servant. The confidence and authority that is available to a Spirit-filled servant. And of course, I'm talking about one who knows the Lord, filled with God's Spirit. Christian, if you've never known God's power in your life, you begin to pray, Lord, don't pass me by. Don't let me go on another day of my Christian life without knowing God's Spirit in my heart and life. I need that. I need you to pray for me that I will know God's power and Spirit. I will pray for you as I ask the Lord to not leave any family member on the outskirts of blessing. Don't leave anyone just to be a bench warmer, a pew warmer. I pray, Lord, don't allow any who come to our church just to go through the motions of a so-called Christianity. For what use is that? In eternity, friend, what use will that do you? When you stand before the Lord, and we have read tonight from the book of Romans that every one of us will give account to the Lord. Those are solemn things to think about. Therefore, we don't know how much time that we have left, how important it is for us to be attending these very important things. I want to draw my comments primarily tonight from verses 16 down to the 20th verse of this psalm, where the writer proclaimed and said, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me, and hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Throughout this psalm, as we have read through tonight, you will have to be impressed with how the psalmist was exalting and magnifying God. He was praising the glorious God that he worshipped. Say in verse 3, say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemy submit thyself unto thee. And then proclaiming in the fourth verse, all the earth shall worship thee. Do you believe that tonight? That's what the scripture is teaching. And that's what Paul the Apostle told us in Philippians chapter 2, that when Jesus Christ comes back to earth again, every knee will bow before him, and every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. All the earth shall worship the Lord God. All the earth shall worship and bow down, and they shall, those who are the redeemed, they shall sing to the name of the Lord. Come and see the works of God, for he is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. And then he proceeds and progresses to exalt the Lord and the power of God as he manifests and demonstrates his power over creation, over the heathen, and most definitely in the lives of his own people. I want you to notice as we come nearer to verse 16 tonight, the thought of the confidence and authority that is available to a Spirit-filled Christian, a servant of God. It will be seen in your preaching. The opening words of verse 16, where he proclaims and declares, Come and see. Come and see. My friend, here is an invitation that is given out very strongly from God's servant here. And in those two words, come and see, you have involved both the fellowship that is being enjoined, and also there is a hearing that is required. But there's a fellowship that is enjoined, for he is saying, come, come. This invitation, this welcome, is expressed to those who are, and the psalm writer is saying he desires fellowship with those people who will respond to this invitation. You know, the Lord commands his servant to require the fellowship of other believers. Do you enjoy the fellowship of God's people? Do you go out of your way to be sure that nothing hinders that fellowship? You see, as Christians, we can become rather insular in our lives. We can become very narrow in our outlook so that our life can be lived ultimately for our own fulfillment of goal and desire. But the child of God is not to be that way. And the one who is filled with God's Spirit and filled with that spirit of obedience and walking with God, there will be a desire for fellowship with the Lord's people. And so he asks very broadly, very widely, very much with confidence in this preaching, there is this invitation to come. And you see, if you have someone who is walking with God, someone who is filled with God's Spirit, you will want to come at their invitation to hear. You will want to come and know what is the central point of their fellowship. And for the child of God, the central point of fellowship, it has got to be the Lord Jesus Christ. If he is not the center of your life, if he's not the center of your worship and your fellowship, then, my friend, you will not have what this psalmist is talking about. You will have maybe a nice personality. You might have charisma. You may have that which draws people because you're funny. You have a good sense of humor, and you can make people laugh. And those are all interesting qualities. But that's not the quality of a servant of God filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Because if you love Christ, you will be drawn towards someone as they make that invitation to you. Come and hear. That's the injunction that is given. That's the invitation that is put forward by this person who knows the Lord. This person who has exalted God and has magnified the Lord for his creative power, for his sustaining power, for his might and power over all the earth and universe. This God whom we worship is the one we proclaim. This is the Lord that we want to have fellowship with tonight. This is the Lord that I desire to have fellowship with. And this is the one to whom I say to you as God's people, those of you who know the Lord, come into this intimate fellowship with him. John, in his letter, in his epistle, will admonish us that there is a fellowship which we can have with the Father and with the Son. There is a sweet and blessed communion that we can enjoy as the Holy Spirit, as the Son of God, as God the Father come to make their abode within our temple, within our hearts, our lives. And as we manifest that fellowship and the enjoyment of that communion, that will be an infectious thing. That will be something that when people know you have the Lord abiding in you, a true Christian will want to seek out your fellowship because you radiate the joy and blessing of God. Of course, If you are walking with the Lord and you are filled with His Spirit, there are some people who will not appreciate your company. There are some people who will not want to respond to that invitation, namely, those who are unbelievers. They will not necessarily want your company, but sadly, those people who are walking at a distance from Christ, because you become a conscience to them. You become a conscience to their evil and backslidden lifestyle, and therefore they want to run a mile in the opposite direction. Friends, what is your state tonight? Do you desire fellowship with God's people? Do you desire communion with those who are in touch with God? I pray that you would be such a people, and you need to pray that I would be such a man of God, so that as I proclaim God's truth to you, and as the Lord's word is preached, that there would be a desire, a longing to draw near, not to a man, not to a denomination, but to be drawn near to the fellowship that there is with Christ, the fellowship there is with the God, the Father in heaven. Oh, believer, there is so much more that we can experience of God's presence and power and benefit and blessing in our lives. But how much do we just paddle around in the shallows and we don't dare step out into the depths of communion with God? I challenge you tonight. I challenge you to what it means to have the confidence and authority of a Spirit-filled life, what it will mean to you, what it will mean to those around you. This invitation is to come. And of course, the audience that he is extending the invitation to are those that fear the Lord. Now, I know that as God's people, we desire to have a testimony and a witness to the ungodly. And that's very true, and that's very right. We need to have an outreach to them. We need to preach the gospel so they will see us and want to be drawn to Christ because of our life. But what he is saying here, and it is significant, he is saying, come and hear, all ye that fear God. There is a great invitation to unity among those who fear God in their hearts. Now, this might be a very rudimentary fear. It might be a very fundamental move of God's working in the heart of someone. But believer, if you've trusted in the Lord, you might think, well, my faith is very small, very weak. Nonetheless, you have to say, I fear God. I love the Lord. And if that love is in you, if that fear of God is in you, then this invitation goes out, come and hear. All ye that fear God, there is a word, there is a testimony that has to be proclaimed. And what is this testimony? It's found also in verse 16. The testimony is that I will declare what he hath done for my soul. What a testimony that you have to give. My, you don't have to go very far to find out information for that, I am certain. Come, and I will testify to you what God has done for this soul of mine. The greatest thing he has done for you, is it not this? That he has delivered you from a lost eternity. He has delivered you from the fire and destruction of an eternal hell. Does that not give you some word to proclaim to others? Come and hear what I've got to tell you Christ has done for me. He has delivered me. And oh, friend, tonight, if you have tasted of that deliverance, if you know anything about what the Lord has done for your soul, then begin to proclaim it and pray that God will enable you to proclaim it with boldness and without fear. Come, and I will declare, this is the outflow of a life filled with God, of a life controlled by God's Spirit, and the outflow of that will be, I cannot contain, I cannot hold it in, I must tell you what the Lord means to me, I must proclaim to you what he has done for my soul. How does this work out in our everyday life? Because you're not going to be preaching and proclaiming in the sense of the words that you're going to stand in your workplace as you go tomorrow morning. You have to go back to the same place of those people who are very antagonistic to your faith. And they're not maybe the least bit interested in your experience of the yesterday, taking it today, and tomorrow you're at work. And you might want to go and say, I heard the word of the Lord yesterday. Let me tell you what the Lord has meant to me and has done for me. And you might say to yourself, well, if I do that, they'll be calling the people to come and take me away. They'll be thinking I've turned mad. But believer, let me tell you that if you're walking with God, it will be evident in your face. It will be evident in your conversation. It will be evident in the way you communicate with people. It'll be evident by your very testimony when you're going about what appears to be the mundane things of life. And the thing is this, that you may not even know how your face is radiating the love of Christ. Because it seems to be that Moses did not know that when he came down from the mount of communing with God for that time, and his face was glowing. And, well, they told him, Moses, please cover your face. We cannot look upon you. If you are walking with God and filled with His Spirit, others will know about that around you, and your very mode of operation will be a strong testimony. But God will indeed, He will give you opportunities if you've asked Him about that. If you say, Lord, I want to witness to some soul today, you begin to pray that prayer and you see what happens. The Lord will open doors for you. He will give you the privilege of sharing your faith with others. And then when the door opens, you boldly step through that door. And you say, now I'm going to proclaim. I'm going to make testimony. I'm going to tell and declare what God has done for me. Well, of course, that's in the situation of witnessing to the unbeliever. But do you know how that will encourage a brother or sister in the Lord if you share with such boldness the things of God to them? You are going to challenge them and encourage them to go on themselves. You're going to be such a builder up of those who are going through maybe a very tough time that you know nothing about, but you're going to encourage them. And your boldness will excite and encourage very many. Is that not what the Apostle Paul said about those whom he was writing to? That their boldness in the Lord, their confidence in the Lord's things, that was such a challenging thing to others. That in their bondage, in the prison cell, the very bonds that Paul had said, these things will be an encouragement to others who have their freedom. Why? Because I love the Lord so much, he is saying, that I'm prepared to be in bonds for my love for Christ. And so he said, I desire that you would be so much like him, the apostle, as he reflected Christ's beauty. He said, apart from these bonds, he did not wish that others would have the same prison fellowship that he had. But you know what he was talking about. He walked with the Lord, and people knew that. And therefore, his preaching and his testimony of declaring what God has done for me was the outflow of the redeemed heart. It was the outflow of a life of a man who was filled with God, a man who was abandoned unto the Lord. And the psalmist had the same testimony, and that was the preaching. And of course, if you are filled with God's Spirit and you are proclaiming that, there will also be the outflow of praise and worship from your life. Verse 17, he said, I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. The word extolled simply means that he was worshipped. He was enlarged. He was magnified with my tongue. I will extol the name of the Lord. I will make his name known by my word, but I will make his name known by my actions, by my life itself, the outworking. Does your life testify of God's praise? Do you magnify him? Do you cry unto him with your mouth and to extol him with your tongue? That praise is a praise that is, yes, indeed, a public thing, but it is a praise unto your God for the sake of worshiping him alone. And it doesn't really matter whether other people join in with you or not. It's very similar, by the way, to Psalm 111 we looked at last Lord's Day, isn't it? Where the psalmist opened the psalm by saying, "Praise ye the Lord." And he not only got finished saying that, but he said, "I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation." And it almost implies that he was not going to wait to see if anyone followed him. If they followed him, good. If they didn't follow him, he was going on anyway. He was going to magnify God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, with all his might. Let us therefore pray that God's Spirit would so empower us and his fire would come upon us that we will say, "Yes, I want to magnify the Lord. I want to allow my life to be the fragrance of that worship to him continually." Believer, you know what the sad thing is? Very often, the fragrance of our life is not one that is very nice unto the Lord or to those around us. Oftentimes, the aroma that is coming from our spiritual life is very much less than pleasing unto the Lord. I wonder what it was for Lot as he was living in the gate of Sodom. I wonder how his life was giving a fragrance of compromise or of standing for him, for the Lord. We have to ask ourselves that question. Do we exalt the Lord in our very life and testimony and pray that, "Oh God, you would come and help us in our deficiencies. Come, please, Lord, and take us up by the power of God so that we might do the very thing this psalmist is exhorting us to, that we will enter in the same spirit and attitude of magnifying the Lord. When a servant of God who is filled with the Lord's Spirit and has confidence, you're going to find that person being a man or a woman of prayer. Doesn't that go hand in hand? I mean, if you're properly proclaiming God's truth and if you're praising his name, you're going to be a woman, a man of God in prayer. What is your prayer life like? What is your communication with your God like? Is it a duty that you perform each day? Or is it a duty that you know you should perform each day, but you're very, very sporadic in that? Look at verse 18. "So was the heart of this man that he acknowledged to begin with in his communion and communication with God. He said, 'If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me.'" Now let's pay attention to that truth now tonight. If I regard sin in my life, don't think for a moment that God's going to answer your prayers. Come right down to the truth of God's word tonight. Believer, if you are dabbling in sin, don't think that God's going to hear your prayer. In fact, you will know certainly that your prayers are not going to be answered. Let us come face to face with the reality and the honesty that we need to have before the Lord. I can hear ringing in my ears the word that Duncan Campbell spoke. As he testified and he had gone through what God had done for them in the Isle of Lewis revival. And he said this haunting word, Calvary will not cover what we must uncover. And if there's sin abiding in our hearts, don't think that you're going to have blessing. Don't think that you're going to have prayers answered. And I say that to myself. Isn't it time there was some very deep heart searching, some very deep family heart searching, if we are serious about the Lord's things? If I acknowledge, if I even dabble with sin in my life, I have to know that the Lord will not hear and answer my prayer. What are you going to do, Christian? What are you going to do? Are you going to continue on and just brush this aside and ignore it as if it really is not important? Do you want to just go through a Christian life of just pretending? Or do you want God to really move in your life? Do you want the Lord to really move in this church? If so, there's a cost. If so, you have to be honest. If so, you have to come face to face with this truth. If I regard iniquity in my heart, and it's not on the outward even, someone else may not even know about it. Someone else, they have no idea of what's going on inside you. It's in the heart. And if sin abides in the heart, the Lord will not bless. He cannot bless. But you can be sure that He will have that sin revealed one way or another. If you continue, if I continue in this area. And so you see, there has to be an honest heart searching. There has to be an uncovering. There has to be a revealing of those things, those foxes that spoil the vine, or those things that so get in to destroy our lives, and we tolerate them. There can be no toleration. You've got to get them out. You must root that sin out of the life. If you're really going to go on with the Lord. Well, there has to be this confession and this putting of the sin under the blood of Calvary's cross. In verse 19, he then moves to a confidence because he's able to declare and proclaim, but verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. How did he know that? How did he know that God had attended to the voice of his prayer? Because his conscience was clear before the Lord. He had a conscience void of offense before God and men. And that clear conscience, that being void of any offense, he therefore, and you therefore likewise, and me too, we are able to then boldly stand before God and say, I claim, Lord, the promise of the Word of God. I claim on the authority of this that you know my heart and I put those things clear and right. And now I will come with confidence and say, He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. And I'll tell you, if we as believers are confident and clear on these matters, then we're going to be able to come with such confidence to the Lord that the prayer we offer, He will hear, and we know He will answer. And if God begins to answer the prayers that we offer in sincerity and honesty and openness and power, we will see what He will do in this congregation. We will see what God will do with us. We'll see what He'll do with this church. And by His grace, we'll see what He will do with our denomination. For we need the manifestation of His power. For there are problems within. You can be sure of that. But maybe the problem has to be searched out in your own heart first of all. Brother and sister, be certain that you are clear and open before the Lord, as I must search my own soul before God. There was a confidence that he had, and therefore the confidence went to know that his prayer was going to be answered. And then in the 20th verse, there was a sweet communion. Blessed be God, he said, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. When the high priest went to bring the blood of the atonement, the atoning sacrifice before God, he went into the Holy of Holies that once a year. And when he did that, and he came back out again, it meant that God had received that atoning work. And the reception of that work meant that God was pleased. And when the Lord was pleased, there was a blessing that followed. And he was able to say that God has received from our hand that which we have done in obedience to his word. And the Lord has received our prayer. He has received from our heart that which is the genuine outpouring of our desire and our affection for him. And he said, his mercy, nor his mercy will be taken from us. Friend, we have a right, we have a responsibility to proclaim God's word and his truth. And we have a boldness. And let us not be trammeled, but let us rather be confident by God's Spirit in us. And this is so far from anyone having the false notion of the power of positive thinking or any kind of foolishness like that. This is nothing to do with that at all. But it's a boldness that the apostle said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And that's the power. That's the word that we need. Are you prepared to earnestly seek the Lord on these matters? Earnestly pray that God will come and manifest himself and his glory to us. Over the years, we have asked the Lord about manifesting his power in reviving our hearts. And what is true revival? What does it mean? Well, really, true reviving is to have that close communion with God where nothing is hindering that. And you are walking in dutiful obedience to his will. And that communion with God is so intense, so powerful, so real, that you are just conscious of his presence with you moment by moment of the day. That's what reviving is. It's God's Spirit moving. And of course, when a people join together, have that desire and are manifesting that, then you're going to see other consequences working out. You're going to see people coming to Christ. You're going to see souls saved. You're going to have the joy of leading them to Christ. And what blessing that is for you. Ah, friend, come. Let us say to the Lord, I'm tired. I'm tired of just going through the motions of it all, and it's time, Lord, because life is escaping us. It's time to do a deeper work. It's time to get serious, and therefore pray that God will come and help us, each one. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Believer, as we close in prayer tonight, the Lord is here, and I believe He is striving with hearts, and we don't want to let this occasion pass, but for you to earnestly, solemnly, and seriously ask the Lord to do this thing in you. And so, in the quietness of your seat, where you are just now, if you are determined, if you are serious about these matters, then you pray that prayer just now and say, Lord, I'm tired of second best. I'm tired of just paddling around. I want to be serious about these matters with God, and help me. Show me what to do. Show me how these things are going to be fulfilled in my life, because tomorrow comes and work responsibilities are there, and you can go through the, get back into the grind of it again. But you know, the Lord is able to speak to your soul and to just impress this truth upon you, that we see these things growing and developing. Lord, come tonight, we pray. And don't leave us to ourselves, O God, we pray. Come and help us in our own lives. Because we know we can't live in hypocrisy and expect God's blessing. We have to live openly and seriously and honestly before our God. Father, I pray that we will be mindful of what the high priest wore that was inscribed in a golden plate, and it was inscribed with the pen of a scribe, and it was upon a blue lace, and it was holiness unto the Lord. Help us, we pray, in this area to be victors and conquerors, to be overcomers from the temptations of the evil one. Gracious Lord, bless us, we pray, as a people. Unite us to Thyself. Help us to go on. And Lord, we pray that the soul winner's joy would be the portion of everyone. Yes, Lord, I'm praying that every single one of us would have the privilege and the great joy of leading souls to the Savior. Our Father, bless us now in our time of fellowship later this evening. We pray that we'll know the sweetness of Christ's presence and just the joy. Receive our thanksgiving for the food that has been provided, and bless it to each one, we ask. For Jesus' name we pray. Amen.